Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we're visiting with Chris van der Zijden, an author, speaker, and leading educator on exit planning and mergers and acquisitions. She is a founding partner of Legacy Partners LLP, an exit planning and M&A advisory firm dedicated to creating and executing exit strategies for privately held business owners. Van der Zijden speaks internationally on exit planning and mergers and acquisitions. She's an expert contributor for media outlets, a guest lecturer for Harvard University's Entrepreneurship and Innovation class. Her newest book is Master Your Exit Plan, Sell Your Business, Preserve Your Legacy. And Chris, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks for having me. That was quite a mouthful, and you got through it stellar.
Well, I was getting worried there for a second. Thanks for giving me the vote of confidence there. So now tell us, your book is entitled Master Your Exit Plan. What exactly is an exit plan for those that aren't familiar?
You know, a lot of people talk about exit planning, and so there are different meanings, but from our perspective, from my perspective, an exit plan is a well thought out strategy of how a business owner is going to exit, and it actually aligns their business, personal, and financial goals. Most people think of exit planning as just transaction oriented, but our approach here at Legacy is to look at a business owner in a comprehensive fashion and be focused on the business, not the transaction. The business owner, not the transaction.
Yeah, thanks for your feedback there, and a great place to lead things off as well. Now, many business owners are unaware of the exit strategies available to them. What are the options, and what is the most common path taken?
You know, there are six main exit strategies that business owners turn to in order to exit their business. You know, there's IPOs, taking a business public. You know, that's the big sexy exit. But you've got to have your business positioned very well to attract investors and to take it public. So that's not very common. ESOPs, employee stock ownership plans, or a management buyout is another option. Used to be much more popular years ago. They're making some headway today, and there's some pluses and minuses to them to doing that. Sometimes you have a multi-generational privately held business, and so the owner may be looking to hand that business down to the next generation. So a family succession is on the radar. The success rate for that is very low, however. I mean, only 30% of the businesses going from first generation to second generation survive. And it's even more dismal as you go down the path to third generation, fourth generation. And the reason there is they're just not properly prepared to hand that business down to the next generation. And then the most popular one today, of course, and we're in a very good mergers and acquisition market, is to do an outright sale to a third party. And that is the most popular. Unfortunately, the vast majority of businesses that go to market, upwards of 80%, are not successful to doing that. And that's, again, because of lack of preparation, not having the business position to attract investors. But it is the most popular exit strategy out there.
Certainly some helpful information, and really appreciate that. Now, every business owner dreams of getting the big payday by selling their company, but many fail. Why is that? Talk to us about that from that perspective.
You know, they really don't think about it until it's too late. And, you know, we hear cases where somebody has an offer on the table from an investor, and fortunate they are referred to a firm like us or us to help them get through it. But if you have an offer on the table and you're just starting to get to prepare to sell your business, you're really behind the eight ball. And so it's a lack of preparation and getting the business positioned so it can attract a business owner, and also understanding what it means to you financially so the business owner can make good decisions. You know, the last thing we want is for a business owner to go into a transaction, be making decisions in a vacuum. And then personally, they're not ready to let go of the business. So you don't want to go out there and try to sell your business, not prepared to do it. And then there's some stumbling block you know, along the way, and then you retract and don't go forward with a sale. But it really comes down to a lack of preparation, a proper preparation, making sure the business is positioned to attract an investor, making sure you understand your financial position and what a deal would mean to your finances. Sometimes when you sell a business to a third party, they may offer to you to buy back an equity position at close, which is what we call recapitalization. And so understanding what that would mean to you financially and how to evaluate that type of offer is really important. And then having a plan as to what you want to do next in your life. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do to continue to lead a fulfilling and purposeful life? So it really is a lack of preparation with the business, with the financials, and with their personal, and it's not aligned. And then they get into a deal and it collapses for one reason or another.
Really awesome to have you with us here today to cover exit planning. It is so important, and a lot of people fail to put that plan into action or in writing for sure. Today we're speaking with Chris van der Zijden, a founding partner of Legacy Partners LLP, and exit planning and M&A advisory firm dedicated to creating and executing exit strategies for privately held business owners. And her new book is Master Your Exit Plan, Sell Your Business, Preserve Your Legacy. And she's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, also, how does a business owner determine, Chris, when it is a good time to sell?
Well, you know, we look at both internal and external timing issues. So when we're talking about internal, how well is the business positioned to attract a buyer? So what we look for example, is strong growth projected cash flow, because a buyer or an investor is looking at buying your business to get a return on investment. So we need to see a business that is positioned that has a growth trajectory. So we want to see that there is strong growth trajectory with a nice cash flow projection to present to the buyer. Having a strong leadership team, employees are very important. Right now we're seeing deals, we call them acqui-hiring. Buyers are buying businesses literally for their employees. That's how important your employees are. So having a depth of employees provides, you know, an investor with assurance that the business can continue to grow if we take the business owner out of the business. So having ownership concentration be minimized and having the talent to drive that growth for a buyer positions them to go to market. That makes it a strong positioning. And then, you know, diversified customer base, that's some of the basics. You know, if you have, you know, the top three customers are more than 15, 20% of your business, that's going to have a high risk factor, and so it'll lessen your chance of being successful going to market. So those internal factors, is the business positioned to attract a buyer? Those are internal timing factors. Where are you in the development and the life cycle of your business? Do you have strong growth potential, strong leadership team? You have a diversified customer base. Supply chain is a big issue right now. So if you do you have a strong supply chain that a buyer knows is reliable and it can ensure the flow of resources and materials needed to produce whatever product or service your company does, having strong operations. So those are internal factors. So is the business positioned to go to market? That's question number one. Internally, are we ready? And then externally, we look at the M&A cycle. So the M&A cycle lags the economic cycle. And I always talk about the three C's to indicate whether it's a good time to take your business to market. And that is cash. How much cash is available? Is there a lot of capital available to get deals done right now? And right now, that is very true. And if we have fiscal policy where we've got low tax rates, then investors have more cash on the balance sheet. So that's an indicator it's a good time to go to market. And then, of course, credit. What's the cost of credit? That's my second C. That's monetary policy. Right now, we're seeing raising interest rates, but they're still low. I mean, I know new entrepreneurs that haven't been through several, you know, economic cycles like you and I have, Ed, they think, oh, my God, the interest rates are going up. But they're still relatively cheap, which means that the cost of capital is cheap. So buyers most often are going to leverage the deal to some capacity. So if the cost of credit is cheap, that's an indication it's a good time to go to market. And then there's confidence. So those are the three C's: cash, how much cash is available, what is the cost of credit, and what are the confidence? What is the confidence level out there that if an investor buys a business that they can realize the growth potential and get the return on investment they need? And how confident are they in the economic cycle? That's kind of tricky, right? Because we have a lot of different events going on right now that are influencing confidence. And we see it in the stock market. And we lost, what, 20% in the public markets in the last week or so? You know, that's confidence. It's always dynamic. All of this is always dynamic, but it's important that business owners understand that they need to keep that pulse on the economic environment, because it impacts the value of their business. So you have to be sure that you're internally working on those factors that create transferable value in the business, so that when you do go to market, it's positioned well and investors will see it as a good investment. And then you've got to pay attention. What's going on in the marketplace? What's going on with our economy? What's happening with cash, credit, confidence? Is it a good time to take your business to market? Right now we are in a good market cycle. So it's a very good time to be at market if you have a strong business that's positioned well.
Yeah, thanks for that thorough response and feedback. That is also, in addition to everything else, most helpful. Now, what is the process a business owner should follow when selling their business?
Yeah. You know, there's so much confusion about how to sell a business. And, you know, often business owners think it's going to be very much like selling a house. And that's something that everybody's done, right? We've all sold a house at some point in our life, or at least most business owners have. But it is nothing like that. And these are two different kinds of assets, right? A house is a tangible asset with a specific purpose. We live in it. And really what a business is it's a collection of intangible assets. All those things I just talked to you about, the employees, having a strong customer base and secure supply chain, you know, those are all intangible assets, brand identity, contracts. So it's really a collection of intangible assets that support future cash flow. And then there are specific tangible assets in a business. So a business is very different, has intangible and tangible asset characteristics. So it has a very, very different process. And the number one thing for your listeners to take away from this conversation is, I always say this one key element of the M&A process. Just remember that one buyer is no buyer. Eventually, you can only have one buyer buy your business. But if you follow the true M&A professional process that every investment banker, every M&A professional uses, if you follow that process, engage in it properly, the focus is to attract multiple investors to your business, so we can negotiate and then get them so that you can get the best terms, maybe the best price for you. So the whole purpose of the M&A process is to drive interest in your business. And it starts with identifying a buyer pool. That's our first step, is we need to identify a buyer pool. Who are the investors that are out there that would be interested in a business like yours? And then you've got to have compelling marketing documents to relay the value of the business to an investor. That's a tease or a confidential business profile is the first document that goes out, of course, with an NDA, because when we start sharing information with an investor about a business, we want to make sure that everybody is confined to a non-disclosure agreement. And then we go on to the big marketing document, confidential information memorandum. And if you know anything about business and anything about marketing, which every business owner does, you know how important it is to have good marketing. Because if your messaging is off, you're not going to interest the investors that are out there that could be interested in investing in your business. Your marketing documents are very, very important. How do we relay the specific value of your business and tease the buyers to coming into what we call an auction process? So that's where we engage with multiple buyers at the same time. Very, very important part of the process. And it has to be focused on, it has to be done correctly. So you want to work with an advisor that is able to go through the process correctly, so that at the end of the day, you get multiple indication of interest. And once you get through the management meetings, all the talks, negotiations with the potential buyers, you end up hopefully with multiple letter of intents, which is a non-binding document. It's an offer. It outlines the deal. You only get to sign one letter of intent. That's so you get multiple offers. Your team will help you to analyze those offers, look at the tax impact on the deal, have you understand what is the outcome of the liquidity event. We actually put it into a personal financial plan for our clients so that they understand if they accept this deal, this is what it will mean to their future financial security for themselves, their families, future generations. So we integrate that in before they sign the letter of intent and decide what buyer is right for me. And it's not always about price. Terms are very, very important. So what are the best terms? What is the corporate culture going to be like? What is the transition period? Most owners, we're going to have to help that new owner integrate their business into their own investment, whether it's a platform or an entity that's existing or they're buying it outright. So understanding what that means. And then once you sign the letter of intent, that's a non-binding, you enter a period of an exclusivity where due diligence is done. And if you have a proper valuation done for your business, when we do, we start the whole master exit planning process with a valuation. And that's really a pre-due diligence check. We're looking for anything that will throw a deal off the rails when we get into due diligence, because once you get into due diligence, you want your data room built. You want to be able to go through it very, very quickly so that your deal will close. So you can see it's not like selling a house, is it? It is truly an M&A process that you want to engage in whatever level your business is.
Chris, one last question for you before we conclude. How does a business owner know if they will have enough money to go on their next chapter after they do sell their business?
Well, Ed, this is really, it's often ignored, and it's because most people who help business owners exit or sell their business are very transaction focused. And as I said at the beginning, we are very comprehensive and we look at the business owner in their entirety. So the best way to do it is create a post-ownership plan. Understand what that next chapter looks like and how much is it going to cost. Do a financial plan, which includes all of your current financial resources, what the liquidity event will produce or contribute to your resources net of tax and fees. Create a financial plan. And then if you know how much your post-life, whatever it is you're going to want to do, what that costs, then you will know if selling my business is going to be able to benefit me financially to the level that I need to go on to that next chapter.
Really do appreciate all the insight, information, and advice on exit planning. You're the expert on this, and we can't thank you enough for spending a moment with us here today. If listeners wanted to pick up your book, Master Your Exit Plan, or more information on Legacy Partners LLP, where's the best place to do so?
Yeah, you can reach out to Legacy Partners at legacypartnersllp.com. You can also reach me on LinkedIn. And the book is sold in all major retail outlets and, of course, on Amazon. And we will have an Audible version coming out in the fall.
Well, you've certainly got the bases covered, and we'll leave these links within the show notes of this broadcast to further aid the audience as well. Chris, all the best, and thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Again, we've been speaking with Chris Van Der Zijden, a founding partner of Legacy Partners LLP, an exit planning and M&A advisory firm dedicated to creating and executing exit strategies for privately held business owners. Her newest book is Master Your Exit Plan, Sell Your Business, Preserve Your Legacy. And for all the details, visit legacypartnersllp.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.